I invite your attention to the reading of our scripture. It has been recorded in Paul's letter to the church in Philippi. There are two sections to that. The third chapter, beginning with the 12th verse, then the fourth chapter, beginning with the 4th verse. This morning, I'm going to read our scripture from a paraphrase that is entitled Letters to Young Churches by J.B. Phillips. So you can follow along in the Bible that you found on the rack of the pew, but I will be saying some words that are not there. I think you will still pick up the intent. The third chapter, the 12th verse. Yet, my brothers, I do not consider myself to have arrived spiritually, nor do I consider myself already perfect. But I keep going on, grasping even more firmly that purpose for which Christ grasped me. My brothers, I do not consider myself to have fully grasped it even now. But I do concentrate on this, leaving the past behind, and with hands outstretched to whatever lies ahead, I go straight for the goal. My reward, the honor of being called by God in Christ. My ambition is the true goal of the spiritually adult. Make it yours too. And then in the fourth chapter, in the fourth verse, delight yourselves in God. Yes, find your joy in Him at all times. Have a reputation for gentleness, and never forget the nearness of your Lord. Don't worry about anything whatever. Tell God every detail of your needs in earnest and thankful prayer, and the peace of God, which transcends human understanding, will keep constant guard over your hearts and minds as they rest in Christ Jesus. Amen. The story is told that the comedian Jerry Lewis had gone to his doctor for an examination. He was rather worried about that, and in the midst of the examination, the doctor said, "Jerry, don't worry." And he was reported to have responded, "But doctor, how do you don't worry?" Yeah, that's a good question, isn't it? How do you don't worry? How do we keep from being anxious about those things that threaten our peace and our security and our well-being? I would be aware this morning that for every person present in this congregation, we could identify something in our lives that causes us great worry and concerns. It could be a bill that we cannot pay, or a relationship that is strained, or perhaps it's already broken. Could be an illness in our lives or the life of a loved one. A conflict in the workplace. Or perhaps that we are out of a job altogether. You see, scores of anxieties become woven into the pattern of our lives. And we get worried. And when we are worried, we are nervous. And when we are nervous, we cannot do our best. The question is this. How can we deal with these things that worry us and keep them from wrecking our lives? Well, to help us find the answer, I would direct you to the Word of God. This is what Paul had to say. Don't worry about anything, whatever. Tell God every detail of your needs in earnest and thankful prayer, and forgetting what is behind, and with your hands stretched out to what is ahead, go straight for the goal. Isn't that a tremendous statement? What I would like for us to do for a few moments this morning is to take this word that Paul has given to us and look at it in all of its parts and see if it will not help us as we seek to deal with these worrying situations that come to us in life. Now, because I have read our scripture from a different translation, you might want to take the bulletin and you can follow along in the text and you will understand what Paul is going to say to us this morning. All right, as we turn to look, Paul says, first of all, very simply, do not worry about anything. Let me ask you a question. How did you feel when you heard that? You know, my first reaction when I read that was to say, Paul doesn't know what he's talking about. After all, he's never been involved in the circumstances of my life, and he doesn't have to put up with what I have to put up with. Who is he to tell me not to worry? But then as I go back and read his life, it brings me up short. For I discover that Paul did have worries and concerns and anxious moments. Paul had his physical problems. A thorn in the flesh. The recurring bout with a crippling illness. Being stoned by a mob of people. Shipwrecked more than one time. Flogged with a Roman lash. And he had tremendous physical problems in his life. He had his spiritual problems. He was a blasphemer, a persecutor of the church. There was a time in his life when he was the enemy of the Lord Jesus. He also had problems with the relationships. You know, that was the relationship with Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas had gone on the first missionary journey, and God had moved in great power in their ministry. And now they were ready to go on the second journey. Barnabas wanted to take a young man by the name of John Mark, but he had quit on the first journey, and Paul didn't want to have anything to do with him. And the dispute became so severe that Barnabas and Paul parted company, and they never ministered together again. Barnabas took John Mark and went one way. Paul took Silas and went another way. There was the conflict with Peter. Peter was out ministering to the Gentiles and forgot all about being a Jew until some Jews showed up, and suddenly he changed his tune. And Paul saw that he was being hypocritical, and he condemned him publicly and to his face. One time it became so bad in Paul's life, he cried out, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me?" And yet here he is, right in the middle of all of these things, saying, "Don't worry about anything." You know, we hear that, and we would love for that to be a part of our lives, wouldn't we? But then we get worried. We fret and we stew about so many things. We worry about our money and our bills. We toss and turn about our children. We're concerned about what other people think of us. We despair over our jobs and possessions. And you know, these things can become such worrying things that they make us sick. Well, let me remind you that our word worry comes from the root word, which means to strangle. You know, that's exactly what worry does. Suffocates our faith, and it strangles our usefulness. And yet all of our brooding and worrying and restaging of events before they ever happen will accomplish only one thing. It will make us a prisoner to the fear of what might happen. And yet here's Paul saying to us, don't worry about anything. I love the way Jesus said it. I tell you the truth, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Look at the birds of the air. Man, they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father cares for them. Aren't you of more importance than they? So don't worry. You know, when life is at its worst, when the black clouds are hanging over us, when life has treated us unfairly and unkindly, here's Paul coming along saying, don't worry about that. Let me remind you, Paul didn't stop there, and I'm thankful. Because if he had stopped there, we would have probably crossed him off. But he continued. The second thing he tells us to do is to pray about it. Commit it to God. Put it in his hands. Well, this is the way Paul said it. Tell God every detail of your need in earnest prayer. Well, what he really said was this. Don't worry about it. Just pray about it. How many times has that happened in the lives of God's people? I think of Moses in his journey across the wilderness. God had provided for his people abundantly. Think about it. He had delivered them from Egypt when it was obvious that Pharaoh would not let them go. Just after they had been delivered and they were caught and cornered in a tight spot, he parted the Red Sea and they crossed over on the dry land. He provided manna from heaven when they were hungry. He protected them when their enemies attacked them. But now they had come to a place called Rephidim, and they were all out of fresh water. Man, Moses was worried. You see, the people were angry with him, and they were ready to stone him. In fact, they wanted to choose another leader and go back to Egypt. And we are told that Moses laid the matter before the Lord. That means he prayed about it. You remember, God provided fresh water from a rock in the middle of a desert. Or that was Hezekiah when he received that disturbing letter from Sennacherib. The kind of letter that would disturb a man's sleep for many nights. You see, in the letter, Sennacherib announced that he was going to destroy Jerusalem and take the people into captivity. Hezekiah was nervous about that because he knew that Israel had no military power to stop that. But Hezekiah, said the narrative, went into the house of the Lord and he spread this matter before the Lord. That means he prayed about it. And the Lord miraculously delivered his people. Oh, there was the early church in Acts. Herod had been persecuting the Christians, and when suddenly he realized how pleased the Jews were about that, then he arrested Peter and put him in prison and planned to kill him the next day. And the church was worried about Peter. They came together in the upper room, and we are told they prayed for him without ceasing. And that very night, the Lord sent an angel, and he released Peter from prison. Let me ask you, have you and I learned that kind of secret in praying? Well, most of us have not. Sometimes it seems that we have the idea that God is really not interested in concerns about the needs of our lives, and so we don't pray. But he is interested. He is concerned, and he longs for us to share with him everything that is worrying us. And until we are willing to do that, we will never find any release from these things that worry. But when we, like Moses and Hezekiah and the early church, come to lay before the Lord all of these worrying things of our lives, it's then that we will find ourselves on the road to release and being set free. Man, what a heartening thing it is to know that we can take God into our confidence about everything. But let me tell you a secret. When we come to do that, we must do it with thanksgiving. That's what Paul said. I don't know if you realize it or not, but when I quoted the text a few moments ago, I left out a word. Listen to what Paul really said. Tell God every detail of your need in earnest and thankful prayers. You know, it's hard for us to do that. To pray with thanksgiving in the midst of our worries and in the midst of our needs. You see, sometimes we are so overwhelmed with the problem, we forget about the goodness of God. We are so burdened with anxiety, we are not certain that even God can handle the situation. But when life is at its worst, Paul said, don't worry about it, pray about it, and do it with thanksgiving. That's what the psalmist did. You remember? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. And then he goes on to list the benefits. Forgiveness, healing, the provision of God, renewal. You see, in times of worry, the mercy of the Lord can overwhelm us, and we come before Him with thanksgiving. Let me tell you, when we can pray with thanksgiving, we change things. Worry makes things worse. Praying with thanksgiving brings release. Worry brings distress. Praying with thanksgiving brings freedom. Worry brings bondage. It was George Mueller who said, "The beginning of worry is the end of faith. And the beginning of true faith is the end of worry." You see, when God is in the picture of our lives, we can take life at its most hurting and difficult. And we can say with Paul, don't worry about it. Tell God every detail of your need in earnest and thankful praying. I want to tell you a secret this morning. The only way we cannot worry and we can tell God every detail of our need in earnest and thankful prayer is to be totally and completely dependent upon Him. What are you depending upon today? Your financial resources? Your job? Your health? Your family? See, in time of need, these things can forsake us. They can slip away. And they can leave us helpless. The only one who will never leave is the Lord. And no matter the circumstances of life, you can really depend upon Him. L.B. Bridges was a pastor in Kentucky about the turn of the century. One wintry day, he was away from home at a meeting. Tragedy struck, and he was called home. When he arrived, he found that his family, his wife and his daughter, had perished in a fire that swept through his home. He stood there all alone. How could he cope with the sorrow and the tragedy of that moment? How could he possibly go on? Well, the story is told that Dr. Bridges stood on the ashes that had been his home, and he wrote a poem. Later, the poem was put to music, and it became one of the hymns of the church. We sang it this morning in our worship service. One stanza goes like this. All of my life was wrecked by sin and strife. Discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken strings and stirred the slumbering chords again. That's the truth. That is the truth that he discovered. He discovered the Lord who was there, who would strengthen him, who would give meaning to his life. Is that true for you? When our lives are filled with trouble and sorrow, when we are worried about many things, we hear the Lord speak. Do not be afraid. Lo, I am with you always. Take my hand in yours. All of a sudden, faith wells up within us, and we stand strong and secure. See, when we are worried about our loved ones, when we are uncertain about the future, when we believe that life has treated us unfairly and unkindly, Jesus stands at our side and he speaks. Tell me, what is the worst thing that could happen in your situation? And if it does happen, will you in any sense be separated from me? Do you think that that thing is more powerful than I? So don't worry. Let me ask you, how do you don't worry? We focus our full attentions upon the Lord. We put our life in His hands, knowing that He is in control. And it is then that we can say with the Apostle Paul, don't worry about anything, whatever. Tell God every detail of your need in earnest and thankful prayer, forgetting what is past, and with your hand outstretched to what is before, go straight for the goal. You want to be done with worry and anxiety? I don't know of any other way than the way Paul revealed. Let's pray. Now, Father, we do get so worried about many things. Anxiety fills our hearts. Sometimes we don't know where to turn. We're overwhelmed. Thank you, Father, that you do not leave us there, but you come in the midst of our needs in life to take us by the hand, walk with us into victory. Father, give us the grace to know that and believe it. Give us the grace to walk with you. Give us the grace to be victorious. In Jesus' name, amen.